The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
The Davis and Davis Show is intended for mature audiences with a questionable sense of humor. The opinions expressed are those of Davis and Davis, but even they don't always agree with themselves. Side effects may include uncontrollable laughter, eye rolling, and sudden urges to fact check. Listener discretion is advised, especially if you're easily offended, related to either Davis or operating heavy machinery. Proceed with caution, or better yet, snacks.
Welcome to the law firm of Davis and Davis. We're not a real law firm. Go ahead, grab a beer, a glass of wine, sit back and listen.
Welcome to the Davis and Davis Show, davisanddavisshow.com, and the davisanddavisshow.com for all your merchandising needs. Now let me introduce to you your hosts for the show, Scott and Burke Davis.
Hold on to your nutsacks, people. It's the all-new Davis and Davis Show. Drop whatever the hell you're doing and grab your friends, grab your family, hell, grab your pets, and sit them the hell down to listen to the... Hold on to your valuables, people. It's the all-new Davis and Davis Show. Drop whatever the heck you're doing and grab your friends, grab your family, heck, grab your pets, and sit them the heck down to listen to the most adrenaline-filled kick-butt podcast in the world. Bust open that liquor cabinet, grab the most expensive
stuff
you have, pour it in a pint glass, and chug that
stuff
down. The new Davis and Davis Show is about to melt your face off.
Due to public outrage, we at the Davis and Davis Show are starting a new kinder, gentler format. So prepare yourselves. It is the all-new Davis and Davis Show. Halt whatever you are currently involved with. Encourage your friends, family, and even your family pets that you treat like your own children, and persuade them to hearken to our show, the most professional, calming, and mollifying podcast that money can buy. We humbly suggest that a beverage of your choice be imbibed whilst enjoying our oral interludes. The new Davis and Davis Show promises an electrifying experience so profound it will leave you utterly enraptured. Hey, it's the Davis and Davis Show. It's a podcast. Yeah, really exciting. We talk about stuff and other stuff. You can drink or not. You can listen or not. Whatever. The good news is, no one has ever accused us of being professional. We don't promise if you will like it or not. We don't care. You might like it or not. Davis and Davis Show Podcast. Apparently, Scotty stepped away a little too long.
It's a podcast.
It's a podcast.
It's a podcast. What you drinking?
Double fisting 32-ounce drinks. Oh, nothing wrong could come of this. Nothing bad will ever happen during this podcast. I don't want to keep getting up and making drinks, so this is my usual whiskey and ginger in a 32-ounce glass.
I am officially double-fisting Bud Ice.
You have a gallon in front of you at this point. Yeah. Are these 32s? Is that what these are?
Yeah.
64 ounces. That's a gallon, right?
Yeah.
That'd be half gallon?
No, 32? 64 is half gallon.
No. 64 is a half. That's what I thought.
Wait. That's what I said.
I thought it was a whole. It's half. Okay. My bad. Anyway.
It's time for the Davis and Davis Show's What's Going On. About to capsize. With a world.
I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. So what's going on, buddy?
Not much, man. Got off a boring day at work. Ready to do a show.
Well, we almost didn't do a show.
How come?
6:10. My internet crashed.
Oh.
I got the blinking blue lights of death. If I got the green lights, it's a good thing. It's a very good thing. I got 5G. I'm rocking. I'm rolling. No, I had the blue lights of death. It was tons of fun. I was about to text you and go, no. Oh, sorry. I'm double fisting, and that's going to cause some issues today. I got all my Christmas shopping done.
I think most of mine's done.
All right, hang on. I'm shaving my head. I am shaving my head. I can't deal with this hair anymore.
It's awesome, man.
Dude, it's so fucking long. Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, you just got really quiet.
Oh, sorry.
So what's going on, man?
Nothing, man. Like I say, boring day at work, and I think I got most of my Christmas shopping done, and it got cold here all of a sudden.
Oh, did it? Oh, yeah. You guys are supposed to get some wet snow tonight is what it's
saying. Yeah. It looks like it might be up north of us a little bit, but let's look at windy, shall we? There's nothing on the... All this stuff. Oh, shit. That's a big bunch of stuff over Wisconsin and Chicago.
Yeah, you got some stuff coming your way. Here's the exciting thing. My internet is still.
Yeah, did you run a speed test just for giggles?
I just did. I'm sitting about 110 down. My upload's fine, but
that's good. Download not happy.
So this could be the shortest show ever. Oh no, that's we had the shortest show ever.
I just got to that show and I'm like, wow, he went ahead and did it, didn't he? Best show ever.
I thought it was brilliant.
We were just sitting around going, okay, have a good night, everybody. And then we went on and did the rest of the show. It set up perfectly.
Yeah, that I did actually post it, and it's still 10 minutes long.
That's because our intro's 5.5 to 6 minutes. Maybe you should just pick one, randomize them, one per show.
What fun would that be? This at least gives people the opportunity for them to get like a drink and snacks. Because you got 5 minutes before we start.
Anyway.
So nothing else is going on, huh?
Nah, not a damn thing. My life's boring.
Apparently my computer did an update. I didn't know that Microsoft was still doing updates.
Well, if it's on 10, it shouldn't.
Okay, every time I look at the notes from Zoom, because Zoom types up notes for us, the very first note every time is technical difficulties. Every fucking time. Technical difficulties.
Well, you'll have that on the big show.
Fuckings.
Oh, man.
That's why suicide is so prevalent in this world.
Suicide is painless. It brings on many changes. And I can take or leave it if I please. Sorry.
That's all
I was not prepared to sing. All right.
So where were we racing? This is the Formula One show.
The last Formula One race of 2025 to decide the world champion of F1 racing. And we discussed a bunch of permutations on the last show of what had to happen for certain people to win. So, all right. So start out with practice number one. This was another one of those races where all the rookies for the teams got to go out in cars. So Arthur Leclerc, the little brother to Charles, got to drive with his brother.
Okay, you've got Leclerc Jr. at 3 seconds.
I find it quite funny. You call him Jr.
He went off track at turn 12. Browning went off at turn 1. Ward locked up in turn 1 in Piastri's car. Sainz did a big slide in turn 7. Older Leclerc went off at T5. Bierman lost power halfway through the... I don't know what happened to his car. This was going to be Nico Hülkenberg's 250th Grand Prix, which that's a lot of racing. Once again, Verstappen doing what Verstappen does, complaining about his car, but he couldn't be specific about anything. I think that was the only reason I didn't want him to win, because he bitched and moaned about his car all goddamn year. Oh, that's kind of shit. Oh, I can't drive. It's horrible. You're in second place. Shut up. Lando pulled down the fastest lap at 1.24. Verstappen was only 0.008 seconds behind him. So, got into practice two.
Wait. Before you leave practice one.
Sorry. What did I miss? I'm sorry.
Charles Leclerc, spun out on the track.
No, I missed that.
And his brother proceeded to get onto the radio and say, look, he's doing burnouts for the crowd.
Six shots to think some burnout for the fans. Yeah, he's spanning them five.
That's brotherly banter, that is.
Yeah.
He's just showing off the fans, doing some burnouts. First of all, I'd like to address your brother's comments about you doing donuts for the fans today. And how was it to be out there on track with him? Did you know about that?
I actually didn't know he said that on the radio. That's cheeky from him.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I was like, oh my God, we need another Leclerc. In. it was fucking awesome. I'm surprised you didn't hear that.
A lot of these happened early. I had to watch the recaps. So, because this stuff happens when I'm like at work, you know, kind of do work, which sucks. So, practice two, Piastri, big lockup. This is where Lewis went off track, is what I have written down here. So maybe it was practice two.
I'm not talking about Lewis, Charles Leclerc.
Oh, sorry. Ferrari. Yeah, Ferrari's stuck in my head. Antonelli almost rear-ended somebody. Bierman was talking his car up. He was like, I love this car setup. This is awesome. Colapinto locked up in turn six. Norris, once again, best lap, 1.23.083. I don't have a lot of notes for practice three, except for Lewis crashed and Kimi hit Sonudo in the pits.
Yeah.
So a little bit of a couple kerfuffles there.
I'm telling you, man, the practice sessions were almost better than the race.
There was more excitement in the practice than there was in the race. Absolutely. So qualify. Let's see. How did that go? It's P1 and P2 in one day. P3 and qualifying one. I can't remember the days.
Yeah. P1 and P2 are on the first day.
So P3 and Q1.
Qualifying is on the second day.
That's right. Because Lewis's people had to get his car back together
for
qualifying. And they did. So Lewis is back out on the track. Okay. I got a question for you. I wrote this right here. When these guys come into the pits and they back their cars in, they put up these screens in front of them. What are they and why?
They are video monitors, and inside it's attached to timing and scoring plus other things that are proprietary to each race team. But the cool thing is that their steering wheel.
The steering wheel controls what they look at on the screen.
We'll log into it, and they can control cursor, scrolling, all that stuff from the steering
wheel.
So
they can
look at their lap times. They can look at their power curve that they're running, if they're hitting their power band, all that stuff.
All the data's.
Yeah. Any of the data that the engineers have, they have access to.
That makes a whole lot of sense. I was thinking, like, do they just not want them to see what's going on out there? Like, are they, you know, I couldn't tell what it was.
No, they're actual monitors hooked up to the engineering computers.
That's cool. Alrighty.
I think it's kind of cool. Back a couple of years back, it was when Alonso was in his I don't give a shit mode. He was watching cartoons.
That Barney Rubble, what an actor.
I love that guy. He is the ultimate dick.
Oh, shit. Alrighty, so Lewis came in 15th, just couldn't pull it off. Below him was Albon, Hulkenberg, Gasly, and Calapinto, so they're all out. Piastri, top of the list, 122. Verstappen, Antonelli, Alonso, and Leclerc in the top five. So the next day, Q2, Piastri put on a smaller running wing, apparently. And after Q, and I don't have a lot of notes, Bearman, the people that got kicked out of Q2, Bearman, Sainz, Lawson, Antonelli, and Stroll. That Stroll made it above 15 for once? What the hell?
That's okay. He falls back down later.
Now he's dead. Yeah, he's gone now. So, and the top were Russell, actually, was 122. Verstappen and Norris were the top three on that one. And then Q3. So Verstappen, Russell, and Leclerc all have two sets of new tires to play with for qualifying. Before the first box, Verstappen's running a 1.22, and Piastri and Norris are behind him. Mm-hmm. Leclerc was second for like just a moment near the end of qualifying, and then boom, it's Verstappen, Norris, Piastri, Russell, Leclerc, Alonso, Bortoleto, Ocon, Hadjer, and Sanudo in that order for 1 through 10. So,
I really wasn't surprised by anything that happened in qualifying.
No, I mean, like the McLaren team always waits damn near for that last lap to pull it all out and get up there. It's like, you know, oh, Norris is down in eighth place. Oh, he's second. Okay, it's over.
Was it Norris or Piastri that almost didn't make it out of Q1 because of exceeding track limits?
Yeah, they kept going. Time deleted.
And you'll see when we talk about the race, that was another huge thing. As tires wore down, exceeding track limits became a huge.
Yeah, there were a number of people black flagged because they'd gone off at least three times. So
qualifying was fun.
Yeah.
I told you ahead of time, this track, there's a lot of places to pass. But when we get into the race, I'll explain.
Yeah, well, I was listening, and there was a previous year where Lewis started in 16th and made a podium on this thing or something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of it's not like Vegas where you got two half-assed places to switch positions. So this had a lot of different places you could overtake.
Oh yeah,
it's a very different track. So, we've got Verstappen in first, Norris in second, Piastri in third. They take off. Turn 3, Piastri overtakes Norris. Lap 17, Norris boxes in, gets his hard tires. Leclerc is in P4. He boxes for hard tires. Lap 18, Norris is up one place. Norris is up to P7. Lap 19. Yeah, Norris got passed by a bunch of people, well, and then boxing for tires. But so he's already been in once, and not a lot of people have. And Norris is up to P5. Lap 20.
You're in the race right now, right?
I'm in the race, yeah.
Because Lando Norris dropped all the way down to fourth at the start of the race.
Right. But then when he went in to get new tires, there were a bunch of people ahead of him, but he's starting to pass them, and they haven't gotten their tires. You know, they haven't boxed yet, and he's starting to overtake. He was just really slow and methodical about everything he was doing. And we knew he was going to, because once again, if he came in third, he took the championship. So he just needs to stay inside the lines, drive as, you know, well. He doesn't have to be super aggressive, but he's got to be aggressive enough to get that third spot, which this has been the last, I don't know, 10 races. It's Verstappen and the McLaren team. They're usually up there unless something catastrophic happens. So lap 20, Norris is up to P4.
Okay.
Sanudo, yes?
Hang on one second.
Sure.
Before we go any further, I think we should explain some of the elephant in the room. This is Yas Marina. This right here, as you can see, do you see my cursor?
I see your cursor.
All right, this is turn 5. This race used to be very interesting. I should have done this before you started into the race. You see how it's got this nice loop around it.
The sweeping U-turn, yes.
The first 4 or 5 years that they ran here, they did not use this.
Did they use a little knockout right there? They had to
come down, then hit the chicane, which made this a hairpin turn.
Yeesh.
Which is why if you look at the straightaway here, you'll see that the line comes back in.
Yeah.
It was because it used to be a total hairpin and they needed the extra space over here to get through the hairpin.
Gotcha. Interesting.
This is a Herman Tilke track, I think. If I remember correctly, this was
everything about this track was beautiful.
The track is amazing. I mean, yeah. I love this track. I would love to be able to take my car on this track, and just because it's got great straightaways. You got two DRS zones, which gives you multiple places to pass. But you have hairpin turns that are multiple places to pass. So we were on like lap 20. I'm going to tell you right now, throughout this whole race, the middle of the pack was where to watch. Now,
I didn't get to see a bunch of that. So this is where
I know Sky Sports is who does the
major coverage
production for Formula One. And yeah, we kept an eye the whole time. On that note, let's take a little break.
We'll take a little break. We'll be right back.
The Davis and Davis Show will be right back. Welcome back to the Davis and Davis Show.
And we're back.
Hey.
This is what I think it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for Lasting Moments with Lance Stroll.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, English, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-faced, dickhead, asshole!
Geez, do we have to?
Oh, yeah. I love me some Lance Stroll.
Hoping that text would come through your microphone. I time now. Oh, man.
How much signal I need to cut across 8 lane? None? I turn now. Good luck, everybody else!
God, I love Lance Stroll. He came in last, didn't he?
Here's the weird thing. He didn't. Anyway.
I think he did, like, well, Hamilton as well, well, we'll as... Get,
we'll,
All right,
we'll get there. We'll get there. So where were we? Like lap 20. Norris up to 4. Sonoda's in third place. And all the access. He had all the access to slow Norris down. This was the controversial overtake. Norris was behind Sonoda, who is Verstappen's teammate. Sonoda's trying to keep him at bay. But Sonoda, like, zigzagged way too much than he was supposed to.
How much signal I need to cut across 8 lane? None? I turn now. Good luck, everybody else.
There is no more appropriate
sound effect
for what Sonoda did.
He zigzagged. Norris had to go off track.
The rule is very simple. You are allowed one move. That's it.
One move to defend. He did
one
three.
Move to defend. Yeah.
Which is why. Now. Which is why the FIA did not penalize Norris for going completely off track. They're like, that's how you deal with an illegal defense. You do something illegal. So two wrongs do make a right, apparently. So
only in F1.
I own this league. Fuck it, it's my rules. I don't care. Here's control, looking into Norris for advantage going off track. Here's my next note. How the fuck is Stroll in seventh place?
There was a reason for it. Everyone else pitted and he didn't.
Oh, okay.
So don't worry. He drops back down out of the points later on.
Okay. Lap 27. Piastri has a 16-second lead over Verstappen. Russell's up to P6. Hamilton two times off a track. Yeah, this race was a lot of people going off. Oh, excuse me for a second. Oh, that was lame. That was weak. Holy cow. Thank you. Lap 30. Russell passes Sonoda. No action taken for Norris. Sonoda penalty for something else. Hamilton three times off course. Lap 32. Hamilton's second pit stop. Which a lot of people did this race in one, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Piastri is starting to slow down. He's only 8 seconds in front of Verstappen. His tires are getting a little long in the tooth. And let's see, lap 35, Sonoda serves his 5-second penalty. Lap 39, how the fuck is Stroll in sixth place?
Like
he
said,
went 40 laps without a tire change?
He didn't change tires.
Okay.
And that's, yeah.
So we're up to lap 40 and Leclerc goes in boxes for tires. At this point, Verstappen is only 1.8 seconds behind Piastri. Norris boxes for tires. Lap 41, Verstappen passes Piastri. Lap 42, Piastri boxes out and gets on medium tires. Lap 42, Leclerc passes Russell. Verstappen at this point is 24 seconds ahead. Now scrolls down to P17. Thank God. Okay, life feels normal again.
He changed tires.
Unfortunately, at this point in time, Verstappen is getting into a bunch of slower cars ahead of him. So he's going to start slowing down. He's only 22 seconds ahead of Piastri at this point, but he's on older tires, if I recall. Lap 46, Gasly gets a 5-second penalty for exceeding track limits. That would be 4 times for him, correct?
Yes.
That's a lot. I mean, that's a lot in any of these races, it seems.
Yeah. There's some stuff in this race that pissed me off, like Alonso backing up the field. Why did he do that? Because he was going to take an extra set of tires. So back up the field, and then there's a gap, and he can. It's just, I hate this kind of racing. I do. It's defensive racing, and I don't like that. I'd rather you be aggressive and try to win. But
so what do we...
yes, track limits towards the end was becoming a huge problem. It, the thing is that people aren't going to stop and get take another set of tires to stay on the track.
Yeah.
It's only a 5-second penalty if you leave the track.
As opposed to 26 for a new set of tires, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's see. Verstappen, where'd I leave off? At lap 47, Hamilton has come up from P16 to P8. So he's doing really well.
Once again, I made this point not too long ago in another race where I said Hamilton should be the driver of the day. And you said, yeah, but this person went up 16 places. I don't care about somebody going up 16 places. This is the Ferrari is a crap car.
Yeah, to make the Ferrari go that well
and
for that long.
Lewis Hamilton has taken the Ferrari now from last place or almost last place into the points the past three races.
He's driving a Yugo and he's making the best of it.
Yeah, well. A $300,000 Yugo, but
anybody can buy a turd for $300,000, and apparently that's what Ferrari did. So anyway,
Ferrari just knows how to polish it.
Yeah, that's right. Throw some red paint on that piece of shit, boy. It looks pretty, don't it? All right. So where are we? Gasly lap 46. Nope. Lap 50. We're now sitting at. Verstappen in first, Piastri in second, Norris in third, Leclerc and Russell fourth and fifth. But Piastri's got two cars between him and Verstappen to try and overtake. Lap 52 was the second off track for Verstappen, so he's got to watch what he's doing. Lap 55, Stroll, he goes up to P11? What world are we living in? Anyway, this is a 57-lap race. We're in lap 56. Stroll's up to P10. And on a side note, Anna de Armas was the waving the checkered flag. Lap 57. Everybody's doing the darndest that they can possibly do, but it comes down to first place, Verstappen. Second place, Piastri. Third place, Norris. Leclerc got a Ferrari into P4, Russell in P5, Alonso, Ocon, Hamilton's in P8. We got two Ferraris with points. That's pretty amazing, man. Stroll came in ninth. Well, I don't get it. I don't understand. He didn't do anything stupid for once. I think that's why he finished so high. He didn't do a damn thing stupid all race. I don't know how. He fucked up in reverse somehow. I don't know. I don't get it.
Lance Stroll got lucky, is what it is. he got lucky because other teams fucked up.
Okay. I feel better then.
There you go. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. Alonso is his teammate, and Alonso is five positions ahead of him. It's the same car.
Ostensibly, you would hope. But anyway. We got Stroll, we got Bierman, Hulkenberg, Bortoleto, Sainz in 13, Sanudo's down in 14, Antonelli, Albon, Lawson. Why do I have Lawson twice? I have two Laws, a Gasly, and a Colapinto. I don't know what the fuck I did. But anyway, Norris takes the world championship. It felt really sad because Verstappen won that Grand Prix. And it got totally overshadowed by Norris, even though the whole giving Norris his world champion is supposed to be on another day. But, you know, the Clarins and the girlfriends and the family and blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, you know, fucking Norris and Verstappen are sitting in the lounge waiting. No, I'm sorry. Piastri and Verstappen are sitting there waiting in the lounge, talking to each other for half an hour.
Dude, Norris just won the championship for the first time.
I get it. But Verstappen won that race. It's like, just give him his day.
Yeah.
And then you got a whole other day that's nothing.
It wasn't about him.
Norris Day.
Wasn't about him. It was about Lando Calrissian. I wonder if he was named after.
I would bet.
I hope so. Because that was probably the last championship.
It once again, we were talking about the cars. It all depends on who builds the best car next year, and they're all radically different. 100% brand spanking new hybrid mobile. That it's going to be a trip, man. I can't wait. February, is that the first race?
I think it's March, actually. Oh,
God, you're killing me, Smalls. You're killing me.
NASCAR starts in February, and F1 will start in March. Australia! The Australian Grand Prix. It'll be warm.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Did you just check to see?
I was trying to see if the F1 app had next year's stuff, but... F1 2026
schedule is
February.
Ooh, schedule.
Australia is the beginning of March.
25.
This is preseason testing. Excuse me.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I thought I saw February.
Round one is March 6th through the 8th.
But we have got two weekends of testing in February,
which, if you looked at our schedule of shows coming up, you will see that we have testing shows.
I don't care if you didn't put it up there. I was talking about it, but thank God you put it up there.
So we will see. We will see what happens. As far as,
there we go, Abu Dhabi. They're going to be on last week's. Wait, this is Abu Dhabi. They're going to be on this track testing.
Yes, should be.
Sakhir. No, they're which track is Sakhir?
No, I had sent all this to
Bahrain.
That's
Bahrain? Last week's track, isn't it?
Bahrain? So anyways, what was your feeling about the race? Enjoyable? What was your feeling about this was your first year watching Formula One.
Yeah, well, I didn't get a full year. I went back through, I think I started it around July. So I got about a half season, but I'm hooked, man. I'm digging it. This race was a little bit of a letdown because after qualifying, I felt like I knew what the outcome was going to be. And so it was just like, okay, we're kind of going through the motions. You know, it's like being married for 4 years. Like, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. Yeah, there you go.
You know, unfortunately, a 12-point difference that's hard to make up. Somebody's got to make a mistake. And would that have made it more exciting? Probably, but... everyone was going to be on their P's and Q's.
Yeah.
This wasn't like the Felipe Massa Alonso year where Massa lost by 1 point and
Verstappen lost by 2.
Yeah, but the Massa thing, that's in the courts right now. He's still fighting to win the championship because I can't remember who it was. Jenson Buttons, maybe. No, it was somebody else. I think it was a Renault. Yeah, because Flavio Briatore was the principal of the team. They wrecked their car on purpose to...
black flag the race and make the other guy win?
Pretty much. I mean,
that
caused a yellow flag so he couldn't pass. So Massa basically got screwed because Renault wrecked a car on purpose.
Wow.
I said, oh, dude, you have missed so much in Formula One. Flavio Briatore was my favorite team principal because he's just an absolute insane nut. And
an Italian redneck kind of thing.
And like when the investigation started coming down, he was like, yep, I'm out. I'm retired. I'm retired.
See ya.
Can't do anything to me. Then all of a sudden, they make him like the competition director for that.
Oh, God.
Now he's running another team. I'm like, dude, that's a snake, man. Italian snake. But enjoyable?
The whole season that I got to see, very enjoyable. It's kind of weird seeing like these guys push, you know, in practice past the limit to see where the limit is, you know, and just, but some crazy shit, man. Like Norris taking out Piastri and a turn of a race. And it just, I mean, some crazy shit was going on, man. It was a lot of fun to watch.
That's, look back at some of the past shit. Look for the Mark Webber Red Bull wreck. That one was one of my favorites, where his where Sebastian Vettel was in a Red Bull and Mark Webber's in a Red Bull, and they're both heading down this straightaway, and one of them just kind of turns slightly, runs into the back of the car and flies like directly over the car.
Oh my God.
I was like, that's interesting. Red Bulls can. Red Bulls do have wings.
Check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but aren't you supposed to keep those things on the pavement, not in the air?
That's what the wings are supposed to do. But so you sent me something. This is Max Verstappen's post-race radio.
Yes.
Be proud of it, I mean. Hold your head up high.
We filmed up one final time in this past. For the best guys, when we fought back in the second half of the season, we can be really, really proud of that. So don't be too disappointed. I'm definitely not disappointed. I'm really proud of everyone to never give up. Keep pushing, never giving up, believing in making it a success again, even when that's really difficult. So thank you very much, everyone. And also thank you to Honda for all these years together and all these amazing successes that we have had. And we definitely also close it in style. So thank you very much for that.
All right.
I will say this about Verstappen. As whiny a bitch as he is when he's in his car, he seems to be really fucking grounded, down to earth, and just like he was congratulating Norris and like all these people, like, oh, you missed winning by 2 points. It's like, I've got 4 victories under me already. He beat me. He should be enjoying himself. He seemed really grounded and down to earth. And I don't know if that's the way he is.
Dude,
but that's what he came off to me.
He wasn't like that 4 years ago. He's grown a lot.
Okay,
in the past couple of years, and I almost feel bad for him because all of the stability at Red Bull is now gone. Christian Horner has been fired. Helmut Marko just
their aerodynamicist is now in charge of everything. Is that correct? Or am I
thinking something? No, their aerodynamicist was Adrian Newey, and he left for Austin. Or
that's right. That yeah,
Aston Martin last year.
That's right.
And then to top it off, the gentleman who headed up their development program, Helmut Marko, was okay. So how do I say this politically correct? According to Red Bull, he's retired. after 20 years. According to Scott, his interference with the Christian Horner shit, his not being able to keep his mouth shut, got him fired.
Oh, well, that's a possibility, too. You never know.
So
we got a lot of shifting stuff.
There's a lot of shit flying right now.
Their backup driver is now working for Cadillac?
Botas. No, he's Mercedes.
Oh, okay.
And he is, now that the season's over, he is officially gone from Mercedes and will be a driver for Cadillac. The other driver for Cadillac is Sergio Perez. He's the one that you're probably thinking of. He was a Red Bull driver.
Okay.
That got thrown out for Yuki Tsunoda.
Ah, okay.
Oh, no, it wasn't Yuki. It was Liam Lawson that took his spot. I think it was that Liam. Could be.
Well, and Tsunoda got kicked off too, didn't he?
Tsunoda's gone. He's on the... I don't want to say he's gone. He's still a part of Red Bull. He is on the reserve team.
Oh, geez.
Which is where Botas was for 2 years. The lineup for next year is going to be interesting. With Cadillac coming in, that's two more cars on the grid. Kick Sauber is now going to be Audi. So a different power plant. It is now a works team. So they are 100% Audi. They're no longer Sauber. 20 years of having a Sauber on the line. And that's over. Kind of sad. Well, it was kind of sad when Adelson took over Williams. But things in racing evolve. Adelson has done wonders for the Williams team.
Who are the drivers for Williams again? I can't remember. I'm sorry.
Gasly and who are the Williams drivers?
Teams. Here we go. Haas, Alpine, Sauber, Hülkenberg, and Bortoletto.
It's Albon and Sainz.
Oh, there's Williams. I got it. Okay.
And I will tell you, Carlos Sainz scored points this year.
He podiumed.
This was the first year that Williams has scored points in 10 years.
Sainz got a podium, man. That was impressive.
The Williams team was always that was the team that I started with, Juan Pablo Montoya.
Oh, I know that name.
Back when they were BMW back. With BMW. Fan of BMW.
I never got that from you.
I don't know how that works out. But Williams was where Ayrton Senna was.
I've heard that name.
So it's one of those. It's like Benetton. I wish Benetton was still racing, but Michael Schumacher had his best years at Benetton. God, I don't want to sit here and sound like I'm a know-it-all.
You've been watching it for years. I just jumped in, so now this is in next year with these all brand new power plants and all brand new fuels.
I think that's what's going to make things exciting is that you have new fuel, you have new power plants, and you've got a new team in Cadillac. You've got a new team in Audi. Where's this? The only thing that would have made this a better season next year is if Porsche would have committed.
Yeah, it would have been interesting. Followed through. Yeah. As weird as it sounds, like Haas could have the perfect setup and dominate the first half of next year. You just don't know. Obviously, McLaren's got all the money in the world to throw at it. Red Bull, even Mercedes. Even Ferrari's got a decent chunk of money they can throw at this. But Mercedes may come out on top again. But who knows? Cadillac's been developing this car a longer time than these guys. You don't know. And they've got some really good race cars out there. We won't know until that first race who's going to be the guys to beat.
And the best part about Formula One is that the first race will tell you some shit. It's the fifth race that you have to sit back and wait for, because that's when the updates come in and you sit back and go, oh, fuck. Somebody got some balls.
Look who went really fast.
It's a fabulous sport, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to IMSA next year. There are many more teams coming into IMSA next year, which is going to be fun. WEC is going to be interesting. That is the FIA version of IMSA. 24 Hours of Le Mans is WEC.
Oh, okay. We don't do a Le Mans race. We do the Daytona race, but
we do the Daytona race. I don't know about Bob. I know about me. The WEC races, there's only one race in America, which is why WEC has never really made it big.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, the 24 Hours of Le Mans
is a
part of the WEC. Yeah. Would I love for IMSA to join in with WEC and make it a huge fucking beefcake of a race? Oh, my God. Have 100 cars out there. Which would be cool as shit, because the track is so fucking big that you could do that. After 10 laps, everyone's spread out, and then it's on time again. Oh God, this is why I love this kind of racing. Formula One's gonna be interesting.
My favorite thing is that Jeff had the Daytona set up on his simulator, so I've driven that track a few times, and it makes watching it so much better. Because every time you see an angle, you know exactly where you are on the track and what the conditions are and what the drivers are doing. It's just really, really cool.
Well, this is kind of the thing about the iRacing or any of that stuff that's happening nowadays, is that you become a bigger race fan when you really know the track. iRacing, I used to do iRacing all the time, which is how I became a NASCAR fan. I was a NASCAR fan for a long time, but I got into road racing because of iRacing.
Yeah.
And it's, I really think, I love the fact that you had the opportunity to do the IMSA track. Now, Jeff's not an F1 fan. Now you've got to go find the F1 tracks.
Yeah.
I
can't imagine he doesn't have Le Mans in his repertoire of tracks. Because he's got them all. What's the little one up in Ohio here, up northeast of me?
Mid-Ohio?
No, up north. He's got almost every American track.
What is that, Pepperdine?
No, it's I've taken my Civic out on the damn thing. I can never remember it. Oak Tree is one of the curves, but anyway, he's got a ton. So I can't imagine he does not have Le Mans. Might have to call him up and say, "Hey, I need to drive Le Mans, man."
Come on!
Oh God, he's gonna have all. He's got to have all these tracks. Oh shit, he has to be spending a lot of time over at his house. All right, we gotta get out of here, man.
All right. Let me gotta say thank you to Southwind Racing, Southwind Garage, Joe's Bar, Real Bar. Anyone else?
Going once. Going twice. We're out of here.
Sold!
This has been the Davis and Davis Show. Remember, new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. Thanks for listening.